Good afternoon, Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart, along with Randy Conan, and Megan Turnquist will also have an update from Don Wick as well. The Red River Farm Network and Advanced Trading Management Advisor Tommy Grassoffi continued their boots-on-the-ground tour today surveying the crop conditions. Red River Farm Network's Don Wick filed this update.
Solon, North Dakota farmer and rancher Kenny Schmidt typically grows wheat, corn, and sunflowers. More acres this year flipped from wheat over to flowers.
Dang, wheat is just hard to make work anymore. It just appears like there's always some kind of discount, you know. You almost need a longer ticket at the elevator to get all the discounts off.
Soybeans have been added to the acreage mix this year. What about Prevent Plant?
Not sure. Yeah. We're going to try to put those last fields in the sunflowers if we can. And at this point, I think we're going to get it. But we're working on a field right now that's just, we're just barely getting it done. We're going to kind of have trying to patch it in there because those fields with all that cover on, it takes a long time for them to dry out.
Schmidt is also in the cattle business. With COVID-19, cattle are backing up in the system and putting on pounds.
Well, they are, you know, I mean, I've got a feed yard that I work with, you know, they couldn't even get a bid. And then, a week ago, they sent out some steers that are at 1650. Well, then you got those problems where they're overweight and overfat, and then you get the discounts, you got the feed bill and the discounts because you just can't get them moved, you know. Yeah. And the packers, you know, if you're lucky enough to get a bid, you probably better take it because there's a lot of them that aren't even getting a bid.
Congress stepped up with some incentive payments, those kind of things. How big a help has that been?
It's helped us a lot. It's helped us a lot. And now the issue is those dates are a little bit time sensitive because the guys that are killing the fat cattle now, they almost don't qualify, and they probably got the biggest loss.
Our Boots on the Ground tour is moving through the I-94 corridor this afternoon. Traveling with Advanced Trading Risk Management Advisor Tommy Grassoffi, I'm Don Wick for the Red River Farm Network.
The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals has ordered the Environmental Protection Agency to terminate Bayer's Xtendimax, BASF's Ingenia, and Corteva Agriscience's Fexapan herbicides. There are the registrations immediately. The court says EPA substantially underestimated or understated risks that it acknowledged in dicamba use, and the agency failed to recognize the social cost to farming communities. The ruling applies to the current registration, which expires in December. In response to the ruling, the EPA says they are reviewing the court decision and will move promptly to address the court order.
Stakeholders are responding to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruling on dicamba use. In statements provided to the Red River Farm Network, the companies are standing behind their products. Bayer strongly disagrees with the court ruling and is assessing options. If the ruling stands, Bayer will work to minimize the impact on customers. Corteva Agriscience is still reviewing the ruling. Statements from BASF and Syngenta are pending.
NDSU Extension Pesticide Program Specialist Andrew Thostenson says it seems certain the Environmental Protection Agency will appeal this court ruling. He outlines potential next steps.
Once that appeal is in place, then EPA and the registrants will start marshaling their arguments and taking it to a higher court. And in the meantime, they'll be able to continue to use this product. But right now, there hasn't been an appeal made because this just happened.
Thostenson notes one interesting thing from Wednesday's court ruling.
EPA and the registrants actually asked the court for some flexibility if the ruling went against them. And the court, in the last several paragraphs of their ruling, said, "We hear you, but the damage, potential damage to the environment is such that we're going to have to act, and we're acting." In previous decisions, the court usually says, well, you have 30 days or you have 60 days to respond to the court, and in that time, EPA usually uses that as an opportunity to file an appeal.
Fostenson says it will be important to pay attention on what the state departments of agriculture do in the next few days. In the meantime, NDSU Extension is putting together guidelines on how to manage weeds without using dicamba. This should be available soon. Fostenson says it's a very tough situation for farmers, and many unknowns remain.
The North Dakota Department of Agriculture has responded to that court ruling. North Dakota Agriculture Commissioner Doug Goring says the state is monitoring the developments of the unsettling decision closely. The use of dicamba products for 2020 now depends on the outcome of the request for an emergency stay. Producers should plan accordingly in case an emergency stay is not granted.
And with it being unknown if dicamba will be an option for weed control, this presents problems to some farmers who already have soybeans seeded. Peterson Farm Seed Agronomy Manager Adam Spellhog says Extend is a top-selling soybean trait, and it's likely many of those soybean acres are in the ground.
There's going to be quite a broad issues. I've already had a lot of messages this morning, and you know, it's right after most guys are probably finishing up with planting on soybeans. I know some is still going on. And probably there's people that have product in their shed already or in their, you know, at the dealerships for sure. So what happens with that product? We were actually on a Zoom message or a Zoom meeting this morning with Bayer, as far as they have some meetings every year. So some of that was addressed, and they're going to be coming out with more information too, kind of next steps.
Spellhog says many farmers will still have to manage what they have already planted, and there are options for weed management. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. The latest U.S. drought monitor shows increasing dry conditions over a span of 6 weeks in the western half of North Dakota. A line of counties stretching from south central to the northwestern corner of the state are experiencing moderate drought conditions. The dryness also dips down into the far northwestern corner of South Dakota, the southwestern corner, and Roberts and Grants counties in the northeast. Other areas of the Dakotas are reporting sufficient moisture. A large portion of central and northeastern Minnesota is abnormally dry, with select counties in these regions experiencing moderate drought conditions.
The dry conditions are concerning for livestock producers in western North Dakota. Hettinger-based NDSU Extension Livestock System Specialist Jenna Block says many cattle producers have already turned pairs out onto pasture. With abnormally dry and even drought conditions in some areas, producers should be monitoring grazing conditions closely.
We have 16% of the state, kind of a pocket in that southwest corner, sort of up to about the middle part of the state on the west side, is already in a D1, so that means moderate drought. That's pretty scary for May. Just looking at the end-on precipitation data from Hettinger, we got 11% of our normal rainfall for April and 20% for May. So we all know how important April and May precip is for forage production. So we're definitely going to be, you know, having to pay attention for grass growth and doing some monitoring and making adjustments.
Block says management of dry grasses plays a huge role in pasture adaption for the remainder of the grazing season. With good grass conditions in 2019, some producers may be able to tap into some ungrazed carryover acres.
Some people don't have that option, and they're just sort of forced to use what they have. So looking at those different trigger dates as far as looking at that historical precip data, looking at forage production on your place, and trying to make some of those decisions about looking for alternative forages, maybe going to a dry lot, maybe moving cattle to a different pasture somewhere, reducing stocking rates, early weaning. I mean, those are all things that we have to start kind of thinking about.
By the end of this week, Edmore, North Dakota farmer Brent Newgard says everything will be planted except last year's corn ground. That corn ground is staying wet.
95% of it's all right, and you hit that 5% you can't see, and you're in trouble. So it's a mess.
Newgard says soil conditions are improving, but there will still be some prevent plant acres in the area.
More spots in fields where we started early and had to go around a bunch, you know, but and there's going to be whole fields. Like I said, this week will really tell. Once it hits that deadline, I think people are going to just decide whether it's worth keeping going or not. I think after combining in April and May, and I think guys will just decide to pull the pin at the deadline, I have a feeling.
Red River Valley sugar beet growers are being advised that peak sugar beet root maggot fly activity is close. NDSU Extension entomologist Mark Botell expects peak fly activity to begin in the southern Red River Valley around June 9th and then move north.
Really, at this point, I would say give or take 3 days because it's so far out from, that's not so far out, but the northern, as we move northward, then the, I'll just give you kind of some latitude ranges with cities attached in the Ada area, that latitude, Hillsboro area, probably June 13th, again, give and take a couple, 2 or 3 days. And then between Grand Forks and then Cavalier, St. Thomas, probably looking at June 15th or 16th for a peak fly, give or take a couple of days.
Botell says later planted beets are at the most risk.
Between, say, the Hillsboro area and the Grand Forks, East Grand area, Crookston, there are some late planted fields. So those fields really should be watched for root maggot. Those especially need to be protected. If there's no at-plant insecticide protection, those are going to be very vulnerable to root maggot attack, so they need special attention with post-insecticide use.
The Senate passed the Paycheck Protection Program Flexibility Act yesterday. The legislation lowers required spending on payroll for the PPP loans from 75% to 60%. That means nearly half of the loan can be spent on rent, mortgage, or utilities. PPP provisions require businesses to rehire workers by December 31st. President Trump will now review the bill. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. The North Dakota FFA Foundation appointed Tommy Winders as its executive director. Winders has been the foundation's sponsor and program coordinator since August.
I'm excited to just, you know, kind of put my own twist on things. But, we're lucky to be in an organization that is growing and has great community support across the state and across the nation, too, because National FFA is growing. And so it's a really healthy time to be a part of this organization. And so basically I just look to, you know, do it the justice it deserves and hopefully do a good job and make our FFA members and supporters proud.
Winders says the North Dakota FFA Foundation is supporting the association in this week's virtual FFA convention by creating a convention in a box for FFA chapters to celebrate.
We've actually worked on this piece called the Foundation Convention in a Box, and so we're mailing 1,000 boxes to members across the state because of, you know, we want to bring some excitement to them in a time when so much has already been taken. And so there's some gifts and different things in there, and we've partnered with some different sponsors. And so we've had our chapters and the advisors working to get as many members to sign up and get interested in this. And we're going to send each one an individual package. So we're very excited about this.
It is the final day of the virtual North Dakota FFA convention. This afternoon, a new state officer team will be announced. The big reveal will happen at 4 o'clock on the North Dakota FFA YouTube channel and Facebook page. Convention coverage for the Red River Farm Network of the North Dakota FFA Convention is presented by the North Dakota Farmers Union, North Dakota Corn Council, Nutrient Ag Solutions, Farm Credit Services of Mandan, NDFB, Ag Country Farm Credit Services, and Corteva Agriscience. Taking a quick look at the markets before we leave you this afternoon, July Minneapolis wheat up 8.25 at 528.5, July Chicago wheat up 12 at 524, July corn up 4.25 at 328.25, December corn up 3.75 at 342, July beans up 11 at 868.5, November beans up 11 at 877. and a quarter. June live cattle up 37 cents at 95.85. August up 72 cents. August feeder cattle up 50 cents at 134.72. June lean hogs down 10 cents at 48.55. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.